And thank you, Pastor Heidi. Good morning, church. It's good. Good to be with you. Happy New Year. As we start out this new year that God has called us to, right? He's got good plans for us, and we've got a new adventure, new journey with God. You know, we're all on a journey with God. You doing that? It's a mission. I like to call it our adventure. Our men's group, we call them God Ops, Special Operations with God, you know, as we go. You know, and there's different seasons and different aspects of every journey as we have with God. So you got to pay attention to the seasons and understand when we're holding back and when we're going. But we're always growing and growing closer to God and becoming more perfected as time goes on. And so, yeah, we're learning, we're preparing, we're training, we're growing, and we become stronger. And sometimes we're coordinating, too. We're seeking guidance and directions from the Lord and others. God will send those to help us along the way. And so we've got to realize that when that's happening. And so there are seasons when we're moving and stretching and stepping forward and obeying with God. I like to say, be a rapid responder, right? Just dive on in with God. Do what God is doing. When He's moving, move. Move with Him. You know, I've found in my life that the less I worry about having all the answers, figuring everything out, knowing all what the final outcomes and decisions are going to be, understanding all the details, the more I experience real faith and trust as I follow the Lord. And it's not just about knowing everything. It's about obedience and trusting Him. It's about taking steps with the Lord as He directs you, step by step, shoulder by shoulder, hand in hand with God. Sometimes it means stretching. Other times it means moving forward without clarity, not really understanding. And we even have to be uncomfortable. It's good to get uncomfortable sometimes. You think, oh no, I'm not going to do that. That's not comfortable. Well, yeah, comfort isn't always a good place to be. God wants to stretch us. He wants us to be a little uncomfortable. He wants us to have some faith and trust. And the good news is that God always wins, right? And so you know you're on a winning team when you're doing it with God. So just follow His lead, even if you don't have the answers. And we align ourselves with God's plans and God's purposes for our life. And so this obedience, it doesn't make us weaker. It actually positions us for victory with God. He never fails, and He never loses His good plans for us. He always has them. They're always there, really waiting for us to engage. And so we are continuing our series, God Always Wins. And it's the truth, you know, He does. God's a winner. If you want to win, get on the winning team. And so you may say this year, you know what? I've had a lot of loss last year. This year I'm going to go for winning with God. And it doesn't mean that we won't have loss, but we do have loss in a different way. And at the end, it's not always one specific thing. It's the overall as you look throughout the year. It's a great time to see what God's done, count our blessings, and to move on to the next phase of what God has for us. And so this week in the life, we are in the 10th chapter of Numbers. Imagine that. We're already into Numbers chapter 10. And Numbers 10, they're now going to actually start over. After a good time of preparation and training, and they're starting on their journey. And so God has a certain way that they want to move out. And first, He wants to announce it. And so He has them take these trumpets, and He blows the announcement of the move. And He also does that for different times, like alarms for war or festivals or sacrifices. These trumpets, they communicate that God is doing something and it's time for the people to obey. And this is God's timing for this. And I think it's a a cool picture of how God lets us know, hey, what's going on? And I think about that in our life. It's like, you know, sometimes you need to let the people know around you what's going on. Right? Other times, maybe not, you know, but many times, especially if they're part of what you're doing, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, writing out your plans, make them plain. It's a good time, you know. Pastor Heidi and I do this for New Year's every year around that season. We're looking at our goals from the previous year as we're writing new ones for this year and checking off ones that we've accomplished and moving ones that we still are working on. And we talk about things and family, and we talk about ministry. We talk about our personal relationships with the Lord, our health, work, finances, you know, everything. You can talk about everything, and it's good to have those things clear and to have that communication and that sounding of the trumpets. Hey, it's time to go do this, you know. This is on our list. This is part of the plan. So it's good to do that. And I like the sounding of the trumpets. If you'd like to go there to Numbers 10 in your Bible, I can play it here for us, and you can just follow along here in Numbers chapter 10. Let me go ahead and start it. Start it out and play it for us.
Chapter 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow, both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord, your God.
All right, and so now they have this departure. And so you have the cloud that lifts from the tabernacle that sets out there, you know, from this Mount Sinai area. This is like their first time as they go out. And so there's a certain order that they're supposed to go out of the camp. Remember, we had studied that before, where first it went with the tribe at the east and the two next to him, and then the tribe at the south, the two next to him, and the tribe at the west, the two next, and then the north. But in the middle of that, you would have, in the middle of them going out, you would have the Levites in the tabernacle. So they're basically surrounded as they go out. And so this was the structure, you know, of how they were to move. This is how God organized it for them to, you know, break camp and depart and to go out. And so this section is going to kind of tell you about that a little bit again. Let me just play it for us.
Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first, according to their armies. Over their army was Nahshon the son of Amminadab. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethanel the son of Zuar. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab the son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out, carrying the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out according to their armies. Over their army was Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Gad was Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy things. The tabernacle would be prepared for their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set out according to their armies. Over their army was Elishama, the son of Ammihud. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedazah. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard of all the camps, set out according to their armies. Over their army was Ahiezer, the son of Ammishaddai. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus was the order of march of the children of Israel, according to their armies, when they began their journey.
All right, and so that was something that we had kind of read before, even in greater detail, but they're recording it as it's actually happening. And so it's interesting because Moses now invites in this next section Hobab, and he's Midianite. And if you remember, Moses' wife was a Midianite, and his father-in-law was a Midianite, and the Midianites were kind of a close community that's close to the Ishmaelites. Sometimes they say they're almost interchangeable. And Ishmaelites was from Abraham's first son, Ishmael, before Isaac. And so the Ishmaelites, or the Midianites, I guess, ultimately would be kind of like the Arab countries today who fight against the Jews. But back in this time, they weren't necessarily big enemies. Obviously here they were intermarrying with Moses himself. And so it's important to note that God moved, and God led, and God gave them direction when to do it and where to go. But it would be good to have someone that knows the wilderness, that know as a guide to kind of help the children along the way. And so what Moses did is he engaged Hobab because he knew the area. And so that was a wise decision. It was practical to have some wisdom, human wisdom there, but also, of course, you know, just to assist along the journey. But ultimately, God was the leader. He ended up being a helper along the way. And so let me play this section in verse 29.
Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." And he said to him, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives." So Moses said, "Please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be, that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you." So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days.
All right, and so I want to give, so it just shows that, you know, in life sometimes God, on your journey, he's going to give you help. And he did there with them. And so this other section, it talks about how the ark leads the way. The Ark of the Covenant goes before the people. And so I'm not really sure if it's actually that the ark is out there, or they're saying that actually the Spirit of the Lord is out there, where it's basically, because you know the tabernacle was in the middle, so what would they do, take the ark out and bring it to the very front? I think maybe not, but it could be. But so there's different opinions on that one, but I think that it definitely means that the Lord is the one that's leading. And so, you know, their journey, their direction, their guidance as their dependence is on the Lord, the Ark of God. Even though the tabernacle was in the middle, surrounded, protected, it was the Lord, the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, ultimately leading the way. So let me just play that little section for us.
And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel."
All right, so what are our takeaways? What are we learning from this? This is a story that happened back then, and there's very physical examples of spiritual realities. And you think about what can we bring forward now to our modern society. And I think a few things that we could talk about that would be noteworthy, especially if you like to take notes, that we can bring forward to us today, is that that, you know, as Christians, we're all called to obedience, you know, not complacency in life. You know, God doesn't want us just to be resting on our laurels and sitting in the same place. I like to say, if you're standing still, you're actually going backward, because the kingdom of heaven is moving forward. So you can't sit still. You can't become complacent. It says, okay, this is safe, this is good, it's not bad what I'm doing, but yeah, but you're not moving forward, and that complacency is going to put you back. And so our walk with God unfolds in seasons. We have these little seasons that we go through. And every little season that we have with the Lord, and divine appointment, and every mission or God op that we have with God, requires some discernment from God. It requires obedience to the Lord. And so comfort really is not the goal. It's faithfulness. It's when God signals a shift, remaining then becomes disobedience. Right? Because God's saying, do this, and you don't. You're just going to sit there. That's disobedience now. So now you're operating in disobedience rather than obedience. So it's so important to, you know, respond to God, to be, you know, like I always love saying, be a rapid responder, because we're called to obedience, not complacency. Two, the Lord provides preparation, provision, and help for us all along the way. And so with them, of course, he had prepared them, given them lots of instructions and help, and leads them. And so God never leads us without some support, some help along the way. He's going to help us. He's going to send people to help us. He's going to organize people. He's going to work out things for our good. So as he calls us forward, he supplies what we need and when we need it. And so preparation sometimes before the move, provisions during the journey. And again, people that can assist us along the path, along the way. And so three, so we're not alone, I wanted to say in that one. And God has a plan, and it's good, and he's going to help us. And so number three, we really need to follow God's lead even without the answers. Now, that may be a tough one for many. It's like, okay, I don't know what's the answer is, what's going to happen, but I'm still going to follow God's lead. That's stepping out in faith, stepping out and trusting the Lord. And the Lord loves for us to do that. He rarely reveals the entire roadmap of everything, I've found. He calls us to trust in his direction one step at a time, step by step with God. Now, sometimes he'll give us a clue, he'll help us to understand what's going to happen, but many times it's just step by step. So moving forward in faith, it's based on his leading, not us waiting until he's explained everything and we know everything. Right? It's based on following the leading of the Lord. And if we learn to do these things here in 2026, then we're going to win. We're going to win with God. We're going to win in our relationships, at work. We're going to win, you know, with our families. We're going to win in all these different areas of our life, in our health, our ministry,